Hello there. This is Resync, an Assassin's Creed podcast. I'm your host, Landon. That's Lucas.
That's me.
That's him.
I'm doing good.
I didn't ask.
I know.
We are having a great time today because of how much we loved Sequence 2 of Assassin's Creed. And so we're just real jazzed about it today.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot happened this week.
A lot happened.
A lot happened. We got some big stuff. I mentioned to Lucas, I had a page and a half of notes for last week's episode, and now I have three full pages.
See, I have a page and a half this time, but last week I had 0 pages, so...
That's like an infinite increase right there. It broke statistics. This sequence.
I saw the really long like bar when I was like sequence two starting. I was like, that looks like it'll be long. I should probably take notes because I'm ADD. I'm not gonna remember anything.
So yeah, we do our homework, guys. And I hope you also remember to do the homework of playing through Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown, because I also made that bonus homework. So I hope you all did that. Amazing game. I did it because I'm him.
I know I did.
Yeah, didn't you really like the Forest Queen boss fight? It was dope, wasn't it?
I don't think that's a real thing.
No, it is.
Oh.
100%. Dude, I played the game. You know, why would I be bullshitting? You know I played. it's also contains the best song on the soundtrack, which is a banger. But I'm getting a little off topic. But yeah. Play The Lost Crown, and the soundtrack's banging, specifically the Forest Queen, which is... a song about fighting the Forest Queen. It's very aptly named. But yeah, it's great. Anyway, Assassin's Creed. The franchise that came from The Lost Crown. Just the same franchise that Prince of Persia. You know what I mean. Pretty good game.
Yeah.
Pretty good game. Do you have any new like overall thoughts so far, Lucas, about just kind of now that we've gotten into... the more main gameplay loop, and you're able to kind of stretch your legs a little bit more. What have you been thinking?
Like, just of the game in general now?
Yeah, we'll go general, and then we'll get into more specific stuff kind of as time goes.
So, for 2007, I still think it's a really cool game.
Right.
Though I have definitely gotten used to so much of the stuff in modern games that make games easy. And... I'm like, oh, yeah, I went back and forth between two areas because I wasn't sure if that's where I was supposed to go. And yeah, basically, I'm dumb and just need to learn how to read. But I'm used to it just telling me where I need to go.
Yeah, Lucas and I talked a little bit about this episode before. And yeah, man made some silly mistakes. I was confused because I was like, did you just follow the minimap? And he was like, well, yeah, but like it didn't have like... a thing saying, like, go this way. And I was like, bro, you just follow the numbers. If the number gets smaller, there you go. Because Lucas is colorblind. I don't think we've mentioned that thus far in the podcast. And so there's been some instances where he's been screwed with in games by colorblind stuff. And now they've added a lot more accessibility, and that's cool and all. But, like, there's been times where I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense. This time, no. He has no excuse. He's just dumb.
No, I'm
like,
just dumb.
But it is, like, because now it is kind of the standard of, like, games like with mini maps or even sometimes on the like game itself will give you like tracking stuff to help it make it real easy. It doesn't really do that.
No,
it's just kind of like you can open a map up if you want, and if you scouted the area, then you can see a path that makes sense to get that way, but you won't see the entire path. And that's how it's supposed to be, because I'm a real assassin. I was hardcore. Do you know how many times I blended in the like 2 hours it took me to get through this hour sequence that I like doubled in time doing everything? I roleplayed the fuck out of it because I've played this game before. I'm replaying. So I'm like, all right, we're an expert. We're gonna do this. We're gonna be Altair Abin Lahad. I don't remember his last name. It's something along those lines. But like, I'm gonna be him. And I was. Except I did fuck up one time. Technically twice, which I'll get into later. But for the most part, did super well. But yeah, there's a lot of technical limitations in this game. I think for 2007, revolutionary.
Yeah.
It's done. It does so much stuff.
I think it pioneered some new stuff, honestly.
Well, you do kind of need games like this in the industry. There's always a game that pushes boundaries, but then it is kind of like a technical showpiece game where there's definitely some flaws, but people need to get a taste of new things, even if it isn't necessarily 100% ready or polished or whatever. And people are going to twist that comment into saying stuff like launch Cyberpunk 2077 was okay, because that's different. I'm not talking about glitchy, buggy, like super broken games. I'm talking about things that aren't necessarily polished to like a masterful degree yet in terms of new gameplay mechanics, not like graphics or glitches or stuff like that. Sometimes you should test those out. And even if they're not flawed, then it at least gets the ideas in people's heads of, oh, that's a cool mechanic. We should take that and refine that. Because then you see, obviously, Assassin's Creed got better. Like, later in the franchise, they made everything a lot better. You see other games taking inspiration from it. Like I said, I think Arkham Asylum, I think the Arkham games combat takes inspiration from Assassin's Creed. And then it made it better.
Especially the stealth stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and it made it better. And, you know, it's part of the argument of, like, competition makes, like, we win from competition. That's why nobody wants, like, Xbox or PlayStation to fail, like, if they're fucking smart, because that's how that shit works. But, you know, so even with Assassin's Creed's shortcomings, because there are some, it's still I think, historical game for video games. It is a legendary game. And if not for the even better games that came after it directly, there's the indirect and there's just kind of how it helped really push the industry forward. Back when Ubisoft really wanted to do that versus make money.
Yeah, when they're trying to be cool.
Yeah. But, you know, let's dive into it. So, Sequence 2 of Assassin's Creed starts off with Altair being
not dead.
He's revived alive by Al Mualim. It's
It's really hard to say.
Yeah,
I just say Grandmaster Assassin guy, but like
basically it's a very difficult name. But he's somehow alive, and he's like, "How am I alive?" And he's basically like, "I saw what you wanted me to see." I'm just guessing he dosed him with LSD or something. I'm not sure exactly that's explained.
I'm confused. Like, did he actually get stabbed, or is that just all an illusion? Because like, they made it seem like it was an illusion.
I have a theory that it's to do with something that we know about that comes later. I'm not sure, but that's kind of where my mind has went. We'll discuss it later when we get there. But I have some potential theories, but it is weird. Al-Mualim's basically like, you were tripping balls, buddy, and I saw you saw what I wanted you to see, and you're not dead, but you're basically just nothing now. He demotes him to a novice. He's like, your rank is stripped. You're a pussy-ass bitch, and you're going to do some favors for me so that I don't kill you.
Which also, like, I would like to discuss how nerfed you actually get when he sets you back to level zero. Like, you forget how to roll. Like, somehow you don't know how to roll anymore. And I don't know if that's, like, the acid did that or, like, what happened. But you just forget how to roll.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't do, like, a jump back thing, or you can't do a lot of stuff.
You just forget everything.
Yeah, you just lose, like, a lot of just skills that, like, I don't know how you lose that skill.
You got bonked on the head. He gave you, like...
got bonked.
bro got 37 whippets shoved in his nostrils, and then about 8 tabs of acid and some shrooms injected into his veins. Bro was just tripping mad balls. They put all kinds of hallucinogens in the haystack that you land in in the invasion of Robert de Saul. And so he was just huffing all this, like, mildew-infested hallucinogenics in that haystack. And so, you know, he saved the day, and then by then he's tripping. He's, you know, he's on Lakeshore Drive. Wink wink. But so yeah, he's not dead, but he's like, you're nothing now.
He can't roll.
Yeah, you've forgotten basically everything about being an assassin, except for kind of how to do the job. And that we're gonna just constantly rub in your face that you can't do anymore. And and we're going to spoon feed you everything.
Yeah, so. And we're going to treat you like your little baby assassin, too. Yes. Even though you've been doing this for like 20 years or whatever the heck he's been doing.
You are nothing. You are a student because obviously it didn't stick the first time. So let's try again. Which, honestly, fairly valid. I think they might have went a little too far, but, you know, I understand. I get it. That's fair enough, bro.
I think making him forget how to roll is a little crazy.
Yeah, I mean, high doses of hallucinogens, that's a little whack. Bro was having the worst trip of his life. But otherwise, we're okay. But, so, you're sent out to find the traitors who helped Robert de Salle get in, mass this full-scale invasion on Masyaf. We're investigating. And it turns out that they already know who did it.
Yeah.
And so they're basically like, we're going to give you a tutorial. I mean, we are going to have you go through the basics to make sure that you still know this because you don't act like you do. You fiend.
Yeah, now so Tyler's still pretty cocky. Like, he's still like, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Well, he's like, literally, like, every time somebody tells him something, he's just like, oh my Shut god, up, bro. Bro, mom, god, like, oh, to do this again, like, god.
He's an angsty little boy, honestly.
He's an angsty little guy. He's just like, why can't we have some little bitch do that? Oh, fuck.
Like, I'm the bitch. I'm the bitch.
God damn it. Yep. It's a great time. Altair really gets humbled here. And honestly, after his action, like, I love Altair. I think he's a great character in general. But at this point in the game, he's not a very likable guy.
He's kind of a dick.
And he's, you know, he needs to be humbled a little bit. And it's through that humility that he then finds redemption. But yeah. We'll get into that.
Al-Mualim knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Al-Mualim! He's that dude.
Yeah, that guy.
A-L space M-U-A-L-I-M. Al-Mualim.
Mualim.
Mualim. It's difficult to say. It all just kind of like slurs together.
Mualim.
Mualim. Yeah. But anyway. So, this is where you get introduced to kind of like the default like investigation missions, which are a lot of the component of the game as you're investigating targets. So first you have to eavesdrop on some assassins that say a basket weaver is delivering letters between two traitor assassins. So multiple people are involved.
Whoa.
At this point you immediately find out.
Whoa.
Just by sitting on a bench and listening to some people talk, because even all the way back in the Middle East they had yappers. And that's how you get the info. So eavesdropping on people is one of the common elements in this game. You're going to be doing it a lot. I've done it plenty in my investigation in Damascus, but we'll get to that here soon. But you eavesdrop on them and then go to pickpocket the letter from the basket weaver detailing that Mosun is waiting under a cypress tree. So now we know who it is and where he is. And so, again, pickpocketing is another one of the primary investigations that you do to get sort of exchange letters for or to your targets. And so we got that.
Yeah.
And finally, we interrogated Mosun to reveal.
Beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, we beat the shit out of him and then interrogate him to reveal that he serves the Templars. And we have him brought before Al-Mualim for judgment, a.k.a. just bro getting killed on the spot.
Bro, man didn't just get killed. Man took the fucking sword straight through the shoulder down to his fucking dick. Like,
yep. So he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm not even just.
He sheathed his sword in his body.
Yeah, bro didn't even get. He didn't get decapitated. He didn't just get like a pierce through like the heart or whatever. Just a weird. Just like, I'm gonna like make sure that not a single doctor can harvest anything from you. Just kebab
every vital organ in your body. Shout.
Bro went for precision, I guess. I mean, he just wanted to make sure he got it all covered. No point of return for that. Bro got killed. But those are essentially the main ways that you investigate in the game. You're either going to be eavesdropping or pickpocketing or interrogating people.
You know, assassin things.
Assassin things. There is something to be said about how much combat you're thrown into in a game about being an assassin who is usually known for stealth. While stealth is in the game, you know, there's gameplay mechanics, which we will get into here later, alongside like the interrogation and things like that, where you're just openly beating the shit out of and or killing people out in broad daylight.
To, like, beat, just like you have to beat the part.
Yeah, you just like there's a lot of non-assassin activities in Assassin's Creed, but at the end of the day, I feel like it's one of those things where you can either make a game super faithful or super fun, and sometimes those can intertwine and sometimes they can't in different ways and all that stuff. So I do think if you were, like, having to stick to stealth 100% of the time, it would not be near as fun of an experience, because it's also really cool to just be able to take on a lot of people at once and feel like you're very strong in that regard. And it's also nice. It's kind of, like, it adds more strategy to, like, you get caught, okay, what's the backup plan? Where are we at? And, like, kind of, like, utilizing things and making a sort of, like, challenge, all types of stuff. I think combat adds a lot to Assassin's Creed. Where I can kind of forego a little bit of the fact that it probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's okay. I will let the fun factor win on that one. But yes, there's a lot of just broad daylight murder. But how do you feel about the investigations in general, Lucas?
So I just felt, I must have probably this word a lot during this podcast, but it felt really nostalgic, you know? Like, it was like, like, this is, like, the beginnings of, like, this type of mission. And, like, because that mission's, like, in, like, so many games now that you have to follow somebody or tell somebody. Mm-hmm. And they've just, you know, and that was one of the first to do it pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, it's not perfect. You can feel the age on it for sure. But
yeah,
I very much enjoyed just being, like, a old school classic assassin. Just pickpocketing people, fucking sitting on benches.
Yep, blending in. Yeah, it's a fun time. I mean, there's a lot of great starts here. And like I said, obviously it's not as polished as some stuff that's come since. But, you know, for its time, it just introduced a lot of really cool concepts to the industry. It did a lot of fun stuff.
Yes.
But after turning him into Al-Mualim, he basically tells you, all right, we'll take care of the other assassin. Don't worry about it. I need you to kill 9 men for me.
Yeah, and then you can
live. If you kill 9 people, I'll let you, you know, so you, yeah. I'll tell you, it literally goes, so 9 lives for mine. And Al-Mualim's basically like, oh, yeah, pretty much. So if you want to get going, I'm going to send you off with a sword and a hidden blade. You can have those back. That's all you got.
And you can't parry.
You're going to make your way to Damascus. And that's what's going to happen. You're going to go through the kingdom. And so you get a quick chance to kind of try out some combat and whatnot and do some tutorial stuff. Yeah. Because every time you get a new ability in this game, this motherfucker is going to stop you and say something along the lines of, oh, my students do not know what it is like to wield a blade. Maybe you can show us. Every fucking time, and it kind of gets annoying. But the tutorials are nice because it makes sure that you get a chance to kind of get the flow down. Because
they are kind of old school mechanics, so you got to kind of refresh yourself on how they work.
They're old school mechanics that have some bullshit.
Yes.
And so
that don't work a lot of times for me, and I don't know if I'm just, like, stupid or, like, what.
Yeah, the timing's very weird. It's I don't think, consistent. But so that's why it is important, I think, that each time you go through those tutorials and just do them, you only have to do them once. You don't have to fuck around too much in, like, the combat, free combat, unless you really want to. But I think you should at least do all of the tutorials just to make sure you have a good feel for all of the gameplay concepts that come in this game.
Just to know that they're there.
Because it definitely helps. It definitely helps to make sure, because there are just going to be bullshit where, like, a guard hits you when you 100% should have, like, deflected or whatever. And just because the timing messes up or something, he just can start wailing on you. Or, like, sometimes I had a problem where I was in a fight at one point this episode that I was trying to slash at him, and there was just an invisible wall keeping us together. Like, I had to, like, exit the combat and go back in order, because it wouldn't let me hit him. He would just keep backing away and doing this stuff. I'm like, bro, you're literally, like, right outside of Damascus, just a random guard. You shouldn't be doing Dark Souls level shit. Like, you shouldn't be like, oh, no, not getting me.
I realized, like, since you can't really roll or do anything, like, you have a step, but you only can step forward, and it doesn't really help to dodge. So I just fucking throw everybody around. I just grab them and yeet.
Yeah.
And then after, like, falling, I just go, shop, shop, shop.
Pretty much, yeah. I try to get some good combos going, but there's definitely some difficulty here with the combat when you get too much. That's That was one of my fuck-ups that I will get into later, because Templars in this game are no joke.
No. Don't fuck with them.
I fuck with them. But sometimes they fuck back.
They fuck back hard sometimes.
Sometimes they fuck back. But, yeah, you are basically stripped to nothing. You go through, do a little training, and then you go to the kingdom.
Yeah, well, you gotta, like, yeah. Yeah, go, what's that place called?
What?
Place you're going
Damascus?
To. Damascus, yeah. But when you leave that area, that first area, or the where the Assassin's Temple is, you get your first synchronization point.
Yeah. First sync point.
Yeah, which I was super excited about. I was like, yeah. And I climbed it, and I hit Y, and I like did the pew
with the bird. Yeah, how'd that like, feel?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The very first one.
And then I jumped off into the hay bale, and he literally died on the hay bale.
Oh, that's funny as fuck. He missed.
He didn't miss. He was on the hay bale. He died on the hay bale. It's some weird glitch. I don't know. Some glitch. I tried it 4 times because I was so pissed that I didn't get to jump in the haystack. And every time I jumped in the haystack, he died.
What the hell? There's
another one in Damascus that does the same thing, that when I jumped into it, I just died. He lands on the cart and then dies. I don't know if I need to turn down my geometry level or what, but...
That's so weird.
I was very sad because I couldn't jump into the first haystack.
That's so wild. Just...
I was like, what? It was so... Because it was such a happy moment for me. And then it was just like... And then by the fourth time, I was just angry. Right. I was like, I wanted the hay bale! And I just ran away.
Ruined your moment.
Yeah, I had to climb all the way down the thing because I couldn't jump off of it. I'd die. So I had to climb down it so I wouldn't die.
Oh, that sucks.
I know, I was so annoyed.
Man. Yeah, this game sucks. There's definitely some issues. That's why I said, it's not a great game on PC. I'm not even going to lie.
No, PC's rough, man.
PC is rough. It did not scale well.
If you need help, just let me know in the comments. I can point you in the right direction, probably.
Yeah, it definitely takes some tweaking, but over on my Xbox Series X, it's actually pretty good and has no issues. Except one thing I notice is a lot of times when it's usually with the sync points, the geometry of the buildings. Have you noticed light shining through the cracks? Because there's a little bit, there's a line of pixels that just didn't get covered by the walls connecting. And so there'll be light shining through with at corners of buildings.
I don't have that, but I don't know if PC settings are different or not.
Well, and that could be. It could be that PC...
I know, I have everything turned up to max because it's a million-year-old game. But I don't know what... I mean, I imagine X could run it at max. I just don't know if it is running it at max. It's a console version.
Well, yeah. Oftentimes, because PC came out later... They could have, A, fixed certain things, or B, just had higher settings to go with. Because at the end of the day, the Xbox version is the 360 build. It hasn't been remastered in any way. They just did an FPS boost, and I don't know if it's an upscale or true 4K. I think it might be true. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how they handle it.
My settings say 1440, 165.
Yeah, we've been over this, but 165 doesn't fucking matter, because Assassin's Creed... 30 is fine for Assassin's Creed.
Actually, no, 60 is fine. 30 is a little annoying. I'm pretentious now.
Here's the thing. A lot of games, I'll agree with you. Assassin's Creed is not one of those games. A third-person action-adventure game, why do you need 60 frames?
Because it's smooth.
But you're just chopping.
Yeah, but Ghost of Tsushima looks way better at 60 frames than it does at 30 frames.
I don't know. To each their own. I think 30 is fine for stuff like that. I think anything first-person should be as high as possible. But when it comes to third person, I'm much more lenient. Personally.
I'm more lenient too, but I don't... Yeah.
I don't know. But you go through the kingdom, and you explore the open world, and you have lots of issues if you're Lucas. but I did okay. Did you get into a lot of fights in the kingdom?
So, basically, no. Well, kind of. I tried to get a few more waypoints, but... I apparently picked the wrong ones because there were 40 guards where I was. Like, I was, like, guarding other shit besides that building.
And well, you see, that's the thing. If you were a true role player, you would know that if you go around to the back of the buildings, you can go up it without alerting them. I stealthed the entire thing,
and it was very nice. And I was wondering, because in past playthroughs, I do the exact same thing. I, like, the second I start climbing, they'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Hey, fuck you! And start throwing rocks at you, and then knock you down and start fights, and it's annoying as shit. 100%. So this time, I was like, all right, they see me, I'm just gonna blend. So I just be walking, because you walk so slow when you blend, bro.
I hate blending, so slow.
But I did it. I was just like, I'm just gonna walk over here. Gonna be a little scholar boy. Nobody batted an eye. I got behind. I waited for that Abstergo logo to just like pop back up, and then I was like, just like climb up that shit, dude. I was stealthy as hell in the kingdom, at least. Damascus, it got a little sketchy sometimes.
Damascus is hard to be stealthy. There's a lot of guards, man.
It's a lot of guards. But you get through the kingdom and you finally reach Damascus, which I really love the overview shots in this game because it looks really good. For 2007, holds up, bro.
No, I remember like when you like come out and like you're on that cliffside and you
right?
can see it.
It does looks, the big pan. Yeah.
I'm like, ooh.
Like, it's a good looking game. I like the pan when you get out into the kingdom too, and it just kind of like overviews a lot of stuff. Once you can get a real scale, because so far you've been in a lot of small scale like caves and, you know, Maseoth is very like kind of enclosed. It's like a city landscape. And so now you actually start seeing, like, far out. And don't get me wrong, there's definitely some draw distance things. There's a lot of fog in old games, a lot of foggy areas. But, like, it's pretty expansive, and it's cool. And there's a lot of stuff being rendered there. It does a really good job. Like I said, I do think Assassin's Creed at the time was a technical showcase game. It was a thing to be like, this is the future of video games. And it was. Like, we literally can look back on it now and know definitively that this pushed it forward, because look at where we are now. Like, look at how much stuff came from this.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just what makes it so strong, even if it has a few shortcomings. So, fuck with Assassin's Creed, y'all. Jeez. But right as you get into Damascus, like, not even through the gates, just in, like, right outside the gates, there's a citizen that's just being harassed. In this game, there are, like, 100 different people that are just being pushed around by guards, because the guards here are dickheads. And so guards, she's being dicks, harassed by literal, like, police officers. And so what do you do? No, don't try to assassinate him or anything. No, you just whip out your sword and you're like, bop, bop! Just fucking hands. You're throwing hands, feet, legs, all kinds of shit, except you're not doing any of that because you've somehow forgotten it all off of the LSD. And so you're just whacking them with swords.
Whacking them or grabbing them and throwing them at each other. That's what I like to do.
Yeah. Just, you know, crowd control. So you save the citizen, and he was like, oh my god, thank you so much. I have to find a way to repay you. And essentially, as you save citizens throughout the city, they will then give you access to either scholars, which is what you get in this case, that you can blend with to get past guard posts. That's how you get into Damascus without starting a huge fight. Because I definitely remember playing this as a kid and just strolling through there, like missing the scholars and just starting a fight. And I'm like, damn, this game's hard. Like, I just like
there's get so many jumped. Guys here to kill.
Well, it's like I just get jumped right off the bat. Like, I don't even get a chance to just walk in. That's crazy. Like, not knowing.
It's like you have to walk really slowly.
Yeah, literally. But, so yeah, you're introduced to that. Another one you get is vigilantes, which are very, 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 very useful when it comes to, the place being on, like, citywide alert once you finish an assassination, which we'll get into in a bit, because they just block the path for guards chasing you. They are true OGs. They literally are like, okay, you saved my life, so anytime you're in trouble, we're just gonna get in their face. Like, they're the cool guys. We love them. They're the Giga Chads. So you get access to either them or scholars, depending on where the citizen is and like what's around and whatnot, who the citizen is, what affiliation they have. And that's a really cool concept. It's very bare bones. Like, it's not super.
Yeah, it doesn't go into more depth than that.
You save a citizen, which is the exact same setup every single time, and it will give you access to either one of two things that will kind of like help you just like a little bit.
The voice acting is really good.
You have done me a kindness. You're gonna hear that.
It's like, How dare over, you rob me? How dare you rob me?
You thief! Yeah, I'll have your head for that! You hear it 20,000 times. That's why I have it memorized. This is like my fifth time playing this game. You know how many times I've heard, you thief! I'll have your head for that!
And then the audio quality is like really shit. Like it sounds like they're in a, like recording it in like their car or something. Like,
it's like, you thief!
Not that bad, but it's like, it's like an in the middle between a normal person and Bane.
Just a time before
you thief!
A time before high def audio.
Well, it's like the Oblivion audio cuts.
Yeah.
Like, stop! You have violated the law. same type vibe. Not far off. But, you know, it's great. It's great. So you snuck inside of Damascus, and sneaky. At this point, you can technically just be going and doing investigations, but they recommend you stop by the Assassin's Bureau first.
Yeah, which if you couldn't figure out this already, you just have to go to waypoints until it pops up on the map.
Yeah, that's also something they don't really tell
you. They don't really tell you to do that. I kind of
you're just there, and it's like,
I saw objectives to do and I did them. That was just like kind of the reason. I was like, oh, I guess that makes sense. It shows me where to go now. But like, I kind of forgot about that. Where it doesn't hold your hand very much at all.
Honestly, and it's not the last Assassin's Creed game to do that. Sometimes they literally, you're just like, go explore some stuff, and you'll probably find something of interest at some point.
I think you'll know what you're doing.
You'll figure it out.
Which I kind of like. It kind of is like Elden Ring-y. Like, you just kind of like go out and do it, and hopefully, you know.
Yeah, there can be some fun to it. You know, I think it's one of those things where if you're the type of player that you're just trying to get through it, and you're just trying to, like, you know, you want to... Either, like, you don't have a lot of time, so you're just trying to finish it up or anything like that. You're trying to rush through it, or you really like certain aspects of the game, so you're pushing the story or whatnot. You might get frustrated here. I've had some frustration in the past, but at least in my playthrough now, where I'm just trying to get as immersed as I possibly can and experience everything the game has to offer, I have been having a lot of fun just kind of exploring, and I try to, like, access the full map as little as possible. I just kind of like wandering around because there is a lot of cool, like, dynamic stuff going on. Again, nothing near like what we have now. Yeah. But for the time, there is some cool stuff enough that makes exploring fun for me. And I think the movement's fun enough that I can get some enjoyment out of it. But was I correct in the fact that the movement is not perfect, Lucas?
Okay, here's the thing. I haven't had really any issues with it.
God damn it.
I play weird, though. I play Claw when I play Assassin's Creed.
Right.
So... I feel like that's just kind of, like, I can aim, I just kind of figured out the aiming of the camera, but, yeah, I haven't had too much issues with it. There's definitely been times where I jumped, like, this way instead of this way, that I was like, that was dumb, and a lot of glitches. One of my biggest pet peeves is, how come when you jump off a building, you just lose all inertia?
Yeah.
And then just fall like a fucking feather to the ground and then die.
Yep. Like, it'll like propel you forward like 3 feet and then you're just like.
You don't die. If you're high, if you're not that high, you don't die. But it's still like.
You lose like half your health. Like I said last week, I called this. I called it. What can I say? I remember these things. But before we continue, we're going to talk about the trivia question from last week because I completely forgot about it. And so, you guys have been patiently waiting. I briefly remembered it right when we started, but we were talking about something, and I'm like, oh, well, I'll find a way to segue into it, and then just completely forgot.
So, this is how we did it.
So, wasn't it a great segue? A 30-minute segue? But, so last week's trivia question, I asked what was Desmond's giveaway for Abstergo to find him. So, he was talking with Lucy. The second time he talked with Lucy... He was like, how did they find me? And she's like, well, anything that describes you. You know, you have your you have a house or, like, your name, like, anything on it. And he was like, yeah, I use fake names. I do all this stuff, like, shooting everything down. And she's like, license? And he goes, motorcycle license. And he said it's his guilty pleasure. And so even though he used a fake name, his face was on the license. They were able to use facial recognition. And that is how Abstergo found him, was through a motorcycle license.
Likes moping around.
Yep. You know, his ex-stepbrother just got in a motorcycle accident yesterday.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was supposed to finish it last night after
motorcycles will mess you up.
Broken ankle.
Yeah.
And a concussion. Three staples instead.
Pretty much everyone I know who owns a motorcycle has gotten in an accident at one point.
He wasn't even drunk or anything. He just literally couldn't see. It's too dark.
Yeah. I mean, they are dangerous, but they're fun.
Yeah,
they're
fun. He's alive. That's why I laugh.
Yeah, exactly. We're all good. But you go over to the Assassin's Bureau, or you can start investigating, but we'll go chronologically here.
I went to the Assassin's Bureau.
Go to the Assassin's Bureau.
To talk to Rafiq.
Good old Rafiq, who, of like all the locations, is the nicest bureau guy. Even if he's not super duper nice in this first encounter, he's kind of a little back and forth where he's basically like, hey, buddy, yeah, I heard. Man, that really sucks for you, man.
He just seems like he's no bullshit. Like, he knows what he's got to do. Like, right. He can't, like, you know.
He's like, you can't. He's like, you're going to have to do this yourself, bud. That's... Dad said that you had to do this, so here you go. But, like, sorry, man, that's kind of rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he really doesn't care, you can tell.
Yeah, at the same time, he's just kind of like, you know, I'm just...
doing my job.
I'm just a desk guy. Here you go. And so he sends you off to do some investigations throughout the city, of which there are 6, and you only need to do 3. But as I said, I did them all. So...
I did 3, because I was running out of time.
Right. So I have them in chronological order by way of which ones, because they do kind of connect to each other in like a puzzle piece sort of way. So there is actually technically an order to them. So the first one chronologically was a pickpocket, where you can pickpocket a letter to Tamir detailing a large shipment being prepared. Tamir is the person we're going after. And so there is a letter talking.
He's a bitch.
He is a bitch. But there's a letter to him saying that they have like a really, really big shipment incoming that they need to prepare for. So that's kind of how things kick off. And then you can eavesdrop to discover that Tamir is in an Arab marketplace because you listen to some of the workers saying that he's calling a meeting and that's where he's going to be at. Which gets me to the trivia question for this week. I'm trying to find a good balance, I guess, in terms of like difficulty or whatnot. This one you could technically just know if you know about the Middle East. What's an Arab marketplace called? There's a specific word for it that they use, and they use it multiple times while you're investigating. But there is a certain word that they say where they're like, "Oh, Tamir is in the da da da." What is that place? That is a trivia question. See if you can get it. I forgot to ask Lucas this time, so I don't know if he knows it or not. But we'll find out. We'll discuss after. I have a feeling I know. That's one of the things. Next up, you can interrogate a citizen, beat the shit out of him to reveal... that Tamir oversees weapons. That is his main thing. He does weapons manufacturing for another benefactor. So, I
wonder who that is.
Technically, Tamir is a merchant for essentially like the king, the ruler of the kingdom. He deals with a lot of essentially like the economy of Damascus. And he's like reporting and doing stuff for the government, basically. But... we now know that he is making something for someone else. I wonder what that could be. And so then you can also eavesdrop to discover that there are central beams accessing the courtyard from up above. Might be useful for an assassin. Just maybe. And then you can also eavesdrop to find that the southeast entrance has a bunch of vigilantes helping people escape the guards.
Wow.
So if you end up saving a lot of citizens around the area of the courtyard, you might be able to find ways to get the guards off your tail very quickly. And that was something I actually utilized. And so that's something that, again, you only need 3 investigations. So if you didn't do this, you might not know this. But it'll give you, like, little, like, tips and stuff. And it won't just, like, that's not something that, like, gets... than, like, an objective indicator or something. It's all stuff that you just have to pay attention to.
Yeah, you get to listen.
You have to listen, and you have to remember
these those old things. Games don't hold your hand
they like don't.
They used to. You don't even got captions. You gotta listen.
Exactly. No subtitles. Subtitles for the weight. It's the worst part about this game, honestly. I want my fucking subtitles. But finally, you can pickpocket a letter to Tamir with a map of the northeastern roofs connecting to the central courtyard. So basically, it lays out the entire way you can achieve this assassination. You go through the northeast rooftops, get onto the central beams, into this marketplace where Tamir is having a meeting with his people, and then you can kill him because he's stressed out about this big settlement that's coming up. Just lays it all out for you in those six investigations. But you only need three. So you can get part of the puzzle, or you can get all of the puzzle. Do you remember what investigations you did, Lucas?
I did the one where you eavesdrop and you hear about the marketplace.
Right. Those three guys talking.
Yeah, I did the interrogation one.
Right.
And then I genuinely don't remember the... I think I must have just did one and not paid attention.
Which is valid, because the thing is that those, like, essentially mini-missions are, like, the same pretty much every time. The pickpocket slash, like, interrogate ones are a little different, because sometimes you do have to follow them different places or whatnot. Yeah. But it's all very, like, monotonous and kind of repetitive, so it's very easy to just kind of, like, zone out for a bit. It's completely valid. This stuff is, you know, it's all just kind of just going through the motions. But if you do pay attention to it, it has some juicy story stuff. I like looking at it, which then you have the chance to go back to Rafik. Tell him what you did so you can get his approval, because each time you do an assassination,
you get a little feather.
A feather from Al-Mualim, which you have to then soak with the target's blood as proof of death. Just like that.
Yeah.
And dead. So you get permission after doing at least three investigations. You could do 3, 4, 5, or 6, however many
seven,
you desire. Though. Not 7, not 2, not 1, not 0. You need to do something. And you need to do it now, because we've got people to kill. And so the stage is set. We know where he is. We know what he's doing. We know how to get to him, and we know how to get out. We've got it all figured out. At least I do.
Unless you're me. I was not paying attention, and I was like, I didn't even know where he was at first. So I was just trying to like look for him, and then all of a sudden the camera was like, "Hey, he's right here."
Right,
like,
and it'll just stop.
Yeah, and I was like, "Oh, okay." And I tried like getting out of the way, and like. I couldn't get to like a good spot without like alerting him or alerting somebody. So I was kind of like in the crowd.
Right. You just do the when in doubt, blend. It literally works. Like you could literally be standing right in front of him and you just do it. And he's just like, oh, he's some fucking monk.
It was really funny though, because like after I got detected, all the guards came at me and I started like throwing the guards at each other and I started whacking the one guy. And after I slashed him enough times, Altair just like
he just pounces on him.
Yeah, like a cat. No,
100%. It's so funny when you like do an assassination, but like you get detected and you start into combat, because when the actual death comes because of the like the cutscene, he just does a pounce on top of him and has that whole thing when there's apparently like 16 guards around you. It's like, hey, guys, chill. They're having a moment.
Yeah, and then I ran away and hid in a little thingy. And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in that sort of span of stuff when you get to that courtyard, because when you get there, Tamir is arguing with one of his like chief officers.
Oh yeah.
Because he's like, "We can't keep up with this. This is too much work. We can't do it." And he's like, he basically is like a toxic girlfriend about it. He's just like, "What? Do you not love me? Like, do you not like can you not like did you not say that you could do this?" And he's like, "Listen, it's not about us wanting to do this or not. It's just that we don't have the workforce. We don't have the amount of time to get this stuff done." And he's like, "I thought you could figure shit out. I guess you can't." And then just shanks him like 32 times. Just, yeah, fuck you. Just slashes him with knives, guts him.
Until he's dead.
In the middle of the courtyard in broad daylight in front of everybody.
Does anybody else want to not do what I say?
Well, and he's also like, just leave him there as his, like, he like kills him into a, like, pushes him into a fountain, like his blood soaks the entire fountain. He's just like, "Leave this piece of shit. This is a lesson. Y'all need to fuck with me, okay?
Dumb
because
bitches.
I'm him."
And apparently,
then we prove that he's not him. I was so pissed off because I took the route, right?
Oh, yeah.
I went up through the beams, and I'm on the beam, and it stops me, and it says, now recording. But I think I was too far away where it didn't want to start the actual cutscene yet. But the thing is because it had started the recording, I was no longer allowed to jump. I could go down, but I couldn't do any parkour, meaning I couldn't get closer to him unless I then dropped down from the beams right in front of him. So I was forced to do that or just reload. And I was like, it's not that deep. So ruined my entire plan. I was pretty mad about that. And so I drop right in front of him, pull my little, I'm a scholar. And, you know, go through there. And he goes walking up, like, looking at stuff. So then I sneak right up to him. Literally, right as I press X to assassinate, man turns around, catches me, and then fucking alerts everybody. And I'm like, God damn it. But we were secluded enough that I was able to easily just kind of, like, three-piece combo and kill him. But I was mad because I had such a, like, I had recovered the assassination. I was like, we're going to blend and it'll be okay. It's fine. Not what we planned, but we can adapt. And this motherfucker turns around right, like literally the second I pressed X. I was like a millisecond too late because man just turns and he's like, oh shit. Man had the reflexes of a cat. I'll give him respect for that, bro. Bro turned around and knew he had ops on him. He was ready.
Like, the fuck you,
bitch. I was like, you bitch. That's why I didn't reload, because I respected him. I was like, you know what? Fair enough. And then, yeah.
Good
you,
AI.
You got him. And that starts a little cutscene, which is another staple where you just hold this person you just brutally murdered, and they're just like, I'm going to reveal all of my life, passion, like, and regret.
Be at peace now.
Ah, requiesca tu pace. Wrong game. But we'll get there. But you have this conversation, and this is one of the things that I don't think I ever did, that I think by this point in the game, I had ignored the visual glitches, which, as I explained last episode, if a glitch happens, you press a button and it'll change it. I think it does a really interesting thing here where it doesn't just change the camera angle, but if you hit those glitches, then he starts walking around and it becomes more of like a vision. It actually completely changes the sequence when you change, like when you fix those glitches. And so the glitches aren't just like, oh, fix the camera angle. It's fix the memory, essentially. Like, it's fix the sequence, because if you don't do that, you technically get a broken or like mistranslated interpretation of that memory. It's not just like it changes the camera angle. So yeah. It is something cool there, especially because this is kind of like a figurative moment. It's outside of the animus sequence because the animus can't quite compute how that happened, because, you know, obviously, like, if there's guards around and stuff like that. And so it is this like kind of distorted thing in general, which is why there's a lot of glitches surrounding it. But it's just a little cool touch I wanted to point out, because I've missed it before. Just by just letting the cutscene play and not messing with the glitches. But it's a thing that happens there. But while you're, you know, holding him in his dying arms and all that shit, he essentially just tells you that you're an ignorant child and that there's the others, like, are going to come after you.
I'm friends with a bunch of other people who are gang leaders, basically.
Yeah, he's basically like, you're going to suffer for this. And Altair is just like, I don't give a fuck. They're going to die too.
He's like, bring it on. I'm going to murder everybody.
Yeah,
he's a cocky. I am him.
Yeah.
And he probably is, so.
But Tamir's just like, you don't get it. And then just dies.
But so. Tamir didn't get it, so.
Yeah, you know, just, it's interesting. It's interesting. Crazy stuff to come. And then, yeah, the whole city goes on alert to the point where you have to get back to the Assassin's Bureau. And until then, guards are just going to attack you on sight. So you got to stay hidden. You got to get out of there. I did take the southeast exit, so I got those vigilantes cutting them bitches off. And so I was able to get away pretty easily. And then I just took the rooftops back to the Bureau. Did you get through relatively unscathed?
Yeah, basically, I saw some crates. And I ran up the crates, and then I climbed up this building, and I ran to the other side of this building, and then I was basically hidden.
Hell yeah.
And then I just kind of ran around and went back to the rooftops and jumped all the way to the Assassin Bureau.
Hell yeah.
You're Gucci.
And there you just report that you've done it, and
Yeah, give him your feather.
That's the end of the sequence. And then you get a lot of stuff. I have a full page. There's a full second page of stuff about the modern day stuff. There's a lot of info you can glean here that you can potentially miss. There's a lot of optional stuff. It's very juicy.
Did I miss a bunch of optional
stuff? You probably did, because there's a lot of juicy stuff you can learn here.
I talked to Lucy like 3 times.
Well, did you access the computer?
I couldn't figure out where the computer was.
Right next to her! It's the one on the Animus, not the one on the desk.
Oh my god. That's not a computer.
That is a computer. Animus. No, there's a computer connected to the Animus.
So if you're an idiot like me. Well, you got I was trying to find it. She's like, access the computer. And I was like, okay. And there wasn't a button to do anything with it. So I was like, oh, I guess I just can't access this computer. And I was accessing the wrong computer.
Yeah. No, I'll give you credit. I did go up to that computer first, but then I was like, oh, maybe it's the other computer because I've done this before. Yeah. And so then I'm like,
I probably should have investigated a little harder.
But sad. What we're referencing is that you can have a conversation with Lucy outside of the Animus where she tells Desmond that they have 6 days to find what they're looking for. And so they're all kind of stressed out. And Desmond's just kind of like, well, you are keeping me prisoner. So this is kind of fucked up for me. I feel like I kind of am having it a little bit worse than you here. Okay. Little shithead.
I feel like you shouldn't. Yeah. I feel like you shouldn't really care as what she thinks.
Right. He is like, you guys did capture me. So yeah, I can't feel too bad. Yeah, you know,
like, if you guys die, then you guys die, I guess. So like,
right. And then, if you keep talking with her, she also explains that the Animus translates Arabic into modern English, including, like, acronym slang, because Desmond's just kind of like, hey, like, they're kind of act a little weird for, like, the Crusades. And so then she explains that the Animus does a lot of translating, and that's all kind of coded by her, because she's a little computer science girl. And so she helps get a lot of like modern English into there with the different acronyms and slang and all that type of jazz. And also explains that Abstergo is a pharmaceutical company specializing in antidepressants. Think about that.
Whoa.
And basically, if I wanted to know more information, I should check the computer. And heavily hints that we should check the computer.
Which I tried and failed. So.
And that's crazy because there's such juicy stuff on there.
Tell me the juicy stuff.
Okay, so the stuff that's there isn't so juicy, like, just looking at it, but in the context of her being like, you should really check the computer. So you check the computer, which she specifically references the telecommunications part.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing accessible in the computer is her emails. So she's not talking about some telecommunications like section on Abstergo's website. She's talking about, hey, read my emails. So that in itself is a little okay. And Lucy has 3 emails. The first one is Lucy emailing Vidic to tell him to stop losing his access pen because he keeps leaving it places.
He's a dumb bitch.
To which he just responds, thanks, but focus on fixing the Animus, you bitch. Basically, just blows her off. And the second email is an email from administrative sent to all the Abstergo employees concerning consequences for data breaches. Basically saying, if you talk or release anything going on here, we have the legal right to do a lot of stuff that they explain very vaguely. Basically allowing for a lot of room. They say stuff along the lines of like, by doing this, you are subject to, whatever legal consequences, yada, 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 plus other feasible ways of consequence or something just left very vague, almost like they do something that they shouldn't be doing as a consequence. And then there's a 3rd email. For Lucy asking Vidic, emailing him once more, what the, quote, wind up like Layla meant. Because apparently they had a conversation where that was said. To which he also blows off and says, it's nothing. And is like, because she signs all her emails with Lucy Stillman. And so he just makes fun of her and is like, why do you sign all your emails, Lucy Stillman? It literally says your name in the email. So he dodges the question and ratios her, which honestly I have to respect him for. That's he got her. Too. He gave her some shit. He's kind of a funny guy, even if he is a piece of shit. Bro's got jokes. he knows no how to nonsense. Ratio. No nonsense. So he's basically like, don't worry about it, and you're stupid. Bye-bye. And so, with Lucy being like, you really need to check my emails. What do you think we're gleaning here from these emails, man? What's so important about these seemingly fairly normal emails? Well, there's a lot of information here. I mean, first off, there's the access pen. Vidic, the person keeping us captive, is constantly forgetting a thing that gives you access to other stuff. That's interesting. Interesting stuff to know. Secondly, administrative is talking about consequences for doing bad things, and Vidic is bringing up people that have had bad things happen to them. So what exactly is Abstergo doing, and is this something that's really okay? I mean, we already know they've kidnapped a person.
Yeah, I feel like they're already not doing okay things.
You know, so there's a lot of inferring we can do here about shady stuff going on at Abstergo, and it seems like Lucy is a little sympathetic to our cause in some aspects.
Hey, here's some more info.
Crazy stuff. I really wonder where that's going to go. There's a lot of interesting avenues that could take, so we'll just have to see. But that's essentially it for that day. The next morning, Vidic wakes you up. Lucy's not around yet. And so he does a little small talk by talking about how humanity needs direction to solve world peace.
New world order, basically, is what he said.
Yeah. Mantis is doing some revolutionary speeches every morning, pretty much, just talking about how Abstergo's trying to save the world and that human beings are really stupid.
They will bring order.
Yeah, so we're gonna establish a new world order, and we're gonna fix everything because we know best. And is basically trying to reason that isn't that what assassins want? Just world peace. We're trying to do it. We just think we have a better way. And that way is a little shady and it requires a lot of shady stuff. But that's the second sequence, guys. I mean, like I said, a lot of stuff. You get introduced. This is the main gameplay loop that we've got going on here. Obviously, there's going to be more like depth added and more kind of built onto it.
You unlock stuff and have more assassin's abilities.
Exactly. But, you know
how games work.
Exactly. So there's a lot of cool stuff here. A lot to talk about. Any final like overall thoughts about this sequence and just how far we've come in general for the game?
Well, I think Altair's finally starting to like accept his fate as being a newbie.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's working himself up pretty quick. Like he has to kill 9 people, and I feel like for him that's like Tuesday.
Right.
And just some like technical stuff. It's really nice because I remember back in the day waiting like a solid like minute for that game to load, and you're just running around in that white box forever. Nonsense. They don't even finish what they're saying before I load in now, and it's like kind of wonderful. They're like, oh, I didn't even get the full hint.
It is funny because when SSD started becoming more prevalent, there was a legitimate conversation about like how do we incorporate like hints and tips now, because a lot of like games actually use that as a mechanic, and some are more important than others. Sometimes it's just padding, but then there's been like developers.
Skyrim just has floating shit and
right. But then there have been developers that have come out and said that we actually like really like that are actually concerned about SSDs, because now they're like, we still want to have that incorporated to be able to help in case people didn't know certain things, like if they're dying a lot or something like that. We want to be able to kind of reach out. But how do we do that now that things are loading so fast that that's not really a thing anymore? And so it is kind of funny because now I've been wondering like, oh, maybe I should like. What if I kind of wanted to hear the rest of that tip?
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to listen to that. God damn it. I loaded it too fast, so I missed it. But that is a thing in this game.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of wonderful, but also, like you said, I was like, I don't even get to hear, I don't even get to finish what she's saying to, like, know what she's about to tell me.
And I have nostalgia for just, like, spinning around in that thing. Sometimes I just want to run around for a little bit.
I don't know if it's this one, but I'm pretty sure Assassin's Creed 2, like, when you're in that place, you, like, can run up the invisible wall. And I would just, like, run to, like, opposite sides and keep running up the wall. And
yeah. The other side and run you just have wall. Fun with it. And now we can't do that.
And now, yeah, now fast. I literally just took a 360 and I'm, like, spawned in.
Yep, basically. But, yeah. A lot of fun, nostalgic stuff and good things all around. Like I said, I think this is a great game. I really love it. It's got a few issues here and there, but there's some good stuff. And this is kind of the girth of the experience. So it's exciting to be in there proper. We've got 5 sequences left.
Wow.
But we're getting into sequence 3 next time. Remember the trivia question. What is an Arab marketplace called? This is literally just like, it's just vocab at this point. So let me know down in the comments or at my socials at PandaMasterCC on every social platform.
It's not Costco.
If you want to go. Not Costco. Not Costco. Not yet, anyway. But thank you guys for watching. Hope you enjoyed. We'll be back next week. Talk all about sequence 3. It's going to be even longer. Yeah. Even longer.
Boy.
So we're continuing to build. These weeks are going to get longer and longer here.
Longer and longer.
More but, you know, about. There'll be less to talk about. It's not as many new concepts. And so, you know, don't necessarily expect a 2-hour podcast next week. But, like... We'll have some cool stuff to talk about.
Lots some of story to talk about for sure.
Exactly. Lots of cool things there. But thank you for watching. You got anything else you'd like to add, Lucas?
Oh.
All right. Well, then we'll see you guys next week. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate you. And remember, nothing is true. Everything is permitted. Peace out, Busters.